Go ahead and open them up to the book of John, John chapter 8. And we're talking about a series called Meet the Teacher. And one of the things we've tried to do from the book of John is to get to know Jesus maybe in a different way than we've known him in the past. And one of the interesting things about Jesus is that in the book of John, he's described using metaphors, different ways of looking at him. And as a matter of fact, we began this study in John chapter 4. It was called Meet the Teacher at the Water Fountain. And one of the things we learned about was how Jesus went to the well in the middle of the day and he met the Samaritan woman who was not the right kind of person. She wasn't the right kind of person morally. She wasn't the right nationality. She was considered to be an outcast and she was immoral. And yet Jesus met her at the well and gave her grace. And he gave her the living water. He used a term, the living water, which was symbolic of salvation. And then last week we talked about how Jesus called himself, he said, I am the bread of life. And I believe that all men and women are created with a hunger or a thirst for God. And we try so many different things, and we try religion, we try church, we try Baptist, we try Methodist, and it doesn't satisfy us. And basically what Jesus is saying is that I am the bread of life. If you want real life, if you want your spiritual hunger satisfied, you're not going to find it in all this other stuff. You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, he's going to give us a different picture. He is going to tell us this morning, I am. And remember when you see Jesus saying, I am, that is taken from the Old Testament. The Old Testament name for God, I am who I am. Basically, Jesus is saying, I'm God and I am the light of the world. Last week, he talked about food. This week he talks about light. Now realize that when you're looking at the scriptures, that these are pictures. And Jesus is pictured here as being light. And the world is pictured as being darkness. And so Jesus is going to be talking to the people how he is the light of the world. And not only is he the light of the world back then, he still is. And so let's look beginning at verse 12 of John chapter 8. I'm going to read through 30. This whole chapter is interesting because Jesus is getting into it with the Pharisees, the religious people. And we won't study this morning, but by the end of the chapter, he said, hey, listen, guys, your father is Satan. I mean, that's how the conversation went downhill quickly. And they did not like Jesus. And they did not like this teaching, especially about being the light of the world. So look at verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. That word life is Zoe. It's talking about spiritual life. And so Jesus is setting it up saying, I am spiritual life. I am light. And then the Pharisees, who did not care for him, said this, you are making those claims about yourself, making up those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I am. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me, is with me. Your own law says that if any two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. And then they said, "Where is your Father?" they asked. Jesus said, "Since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father." Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested because his time had not come yet. Now, here's what's going on in this story. They're having a fight. Jesus has just claimed to be God in the flesh. When he said, "I am the light of the world," he is claiming to be God. And in the Jewish times, to make a statement to be true, you had to have two witnesses. And they're saying, "You don't have anybody here to witness for you." And Jesus says, "Oh, no, 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 you're wrong. I'm a witness, and my heavenly Father is a witness." And that qualifies as two. And that ticked them off. They said, "Well, I don't know your Father. Where is he?" And he basically says, "You don't know him." He's basically saying, "You are lost." And you see, he's trying to tell them to get across, if you know the Father, you know me. Because God the Father and God the Son are the same. Jesus is God in the flesh. And they didn't like that. And it was teachings like this that made them want to kill him. And then they continue this argument a little more in verse 21. It says, "Later Jesus said to them, 'I am going away. You will search for me.'" But then look what he says. "But will die in your sin. You will look for me later on, but you will die in your sin. You cannot come where I'm going." The people asked, "Is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean, 'You cannot come where I am going'?" Jesus continued, "You are from below," talking about the world. "I am from above," talking about heaven. "You belong to this world, but I do not. That is why I said that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins." What Jesus is trying to say, and he says it to us, becoming a Christian is not about church, it's not about the sacraments. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you believe in Him, you have life. If you do not believe in Him, you don't have life. He is saying to them, if you believe that I died on the cross, and see, we believe as Christians that the reason that Jesus died on the cross was because we have this problem called sin. He took our place. He paid the price. And what He is saying to them is, guys, unless you trust me to die for your sins, you're going to die with your sin. And they did not like that teaching. He goes on in verse 25. It says, Who are you? They demanded. Jesus replied, "The one I have always claimed to be. I have much to say about you and much to condemn. But I won't, for I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. But they still didn't understand what he was talking, that he was talking about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am." You see, later on, some of those very same Jews are going to see Jesus hanging on the cross. And they're going to get it. There will be others who won't get it. He says, "I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what he pleases." Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. So what is he talking about? There are several things I want to talk about. First of all, it says without a doubt that Jesus claims to be light. He is the light. And one of the words that John loved to describe Jesus was the word light. As a matter of fact, in the very beginning of the book of John, in John 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "The Word," which was another name for Jesus, "the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought," talking about the life of Jesus, "His life brought light to everyone." And then he says this, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." John begins the book of John by saying that Jesus Christ is the light, and He will shine into the dark world which we live in, and that there is nothing the darkness can do to extinguish the flame. People have been trying to destroy Christianity since it came around. People are constantly attacking it. Sometimes it's because we're ignorant and we ask for it. But the thing we need to understand is that the world has been trying to do away with Christianity ever since it started. And the good news is, according to John, that there is nothing that the darkness, the world, can do to destroy the Christian faith. And then he says in 1 John 1:9 and 10, he says this, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created, but the world did not recognize Him." In other words, Jesus came into the world as the Savior of the world. He was born. We know the story about Christmas. And who was it that rejected Jesus? The Jews. They rejected that He was the true light. They rejected that He was who He said He was. And so in John, the very first chapter, he's talking about the light comes into the world. The world cannot extinguish it, but yet the world did not accept it either. And as you can see, at the time when Jesus is there, they're still not accepting it. The Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't want His type of religion. Well, if you look down at verse 20, it says this in chapter 8. He says that Jesus made these statements while He was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But He was not arrested because His time had not yet come. Now, here's where I got to do a little history teaching. This story takes place at a time in a certain area of Jerusalem. Now, it's called the treasury. And the treasury was the part of the temple. And the interesting thing, and I find it so interesting, that the treasury was also called the court of the women. It was as far into the temple as women could go, because only men could go all the way. Doesn't that just make you women happy? It was the court of the women. In other words, and I think, you know, isn't that just like a preacher? He ain't going to keep the women from giving their money. You know, the women could go into the area, and that's the same area where the woman gave the mite, the widow's mite. It's the same area, and it's as far in as the women could go into the temple. Now, another interesting thing about this place is not very far from it. Within earshot was where the Sadducees met, the ones who did not like Jesus. And they would have meetings, and this place was very close to that place. Now, you got to know that when this story takes place, there is a festival going on in Jerusalem. It's called the Festival of Booths. And it was where the people would go and they would build little tabernacles. And it was to remind them of the Exodus when they came through the wilderness and they had to throw up these... It's kind of like a holiday that the Jews came up with to go camping. Seriously. Everybody would get their family together during the Festival of Booths and they'd go camping. And they would remember that it was God that brought them out of Egypt in the wilderness, and they would celebrate this as a holiday. It was a very happy time. So in Jerusalem, there were a lot of people there for this holiday, and there were a lot of people going to this area called the treasury, and it was in this place that Jesus decided to make this announcement. And here's what's cool about it. During this festival, they brought four huge candelabras into the temple court, the court of women, the treasury. And they would put these four huge candelabras up, and they would light them at night, and it would cast light all over that part of Jerusalem. And the people would come during this festival, and they would dance. It was a very... Jews danced. Baptists might not, but the Jewish people did. And they came into the temple area, and they had the light, and they were having fun, and it was just a wonderful time. And it was during that time that Jesus came in where all these people would have been gathered, where these big, huge lights were, candelabras were going up towards the heavens, and they were lit. And that's when he came in and said, "Guess what, guys? I'm the light of the world." And he began to teach them that he was the light of the world. It was the place to get the most exposure for this teaching. He had the object lesson. He had these lights. And he's in this area and he's saying, "I am the light of the world." And that's such a powerful statement because, see, he's not talking about physical light. And remember, the metaphor takes something that is real and gives it a different meaning. He's not talking about physical light. Jesus is announcing to these people, "I am the spiritual light of the world. You have physical light. You have spiritual light." So Jesus came in there and he made this announcement to the people. And all through the scripture, Jesus said over and over again, "I am the light." When he says that statement, he is making himself equal with God. 1 John chapter 1, same guy wrote, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all." Jesus claimed to be God. And God is pictured in the Old Testament as light. Jesus comes and claims to be God. He is God. And he says, "I am the light of the world. I am the way to salvation. I am the way to have Zoe life." Remember, I said there's two kinds of life. In the scripture, it talks about bios, which is biological life. Every one of you have biological life here. But also John talked about Zoe life, which means spiritual life. Only those who know Jesus Christ have spiritual life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And basically, it really upset the Jewish people. But Jesus is saying, "Listen, guys, I am the solution to your problems. Only in me can you find true sight. Only in me can you find the light that gives you purpose for your life." You know, one of the things that I do know about darkness, when I'm in the dark outside, I have no direction. I mean, you put me out here in the woods without any kind of light on a dark, cloudy night, it's terrifying because I can't see where I'm going or what's in front of me or the dangers. But let me tell you something just as terrifying. It's to not have spiritual light. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what happens when this life is over. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Listen, the one thing I know every one of us will have to deal with sooner or later is death. And death is always portrayed as darkness, but Jesus says, "I am the light." And if you know me, you will have that light. And so this theme of Jesus being the light is so incredibly important to have. And when you have the light, when you know who Jesus Christ is, you know what your purpose is. What is your purpose? My purpose is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ and to make a difference in this world. I have meaning. I have purpose. I'm not just waiting to die. Jesus said that He is the light. But the second thing that Jesus said in this passage is basically the world is darkness. Now, just like there's spiritual light, there's spiritual darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is a life without Jesus Christ. It's being in a world where the world is not... See, people think that being in the world is just doing whatever you want. No, being in the world is being a part of another system. In John 3, he said this in verses 19 through 21. He says, "And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but the people loved darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." And so basically, when I talk about the world is dark, what I'm saying is our world without Jesus is under a different way of living. There's light and there's darkness. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about in this world, there's a different way of thinking that is contrary to the Scripture. It's called darkness. Let me give you an example. I was reading an article this week about a celebrity. And I'm not going to mention her name because then people get mean and talk about how bad they are. And I don't think you change people bad. But this is a lady who is an actress. And she's a part of the Me Too movement. And just recently she came out and she has talked about she had two abortions in 1993. And she's proud of it. Two abortions. Here's what she said. She said, "I would not have my children that I have now had I not had that abortion. I would have not had my career. I would have not had the ability to perform, the ability or the platform to fight against the oppression of abortion with all my heart. I would have never met my amazing husband." Here's what she said in this article. She was grateful for the opportunity in 1993, before she was married to two people she didn't end up getting married to have those abortions. And the reason she was grateful was because if it wouldn't have been for that, she wouldn't have had her career, she wouldn't have met her husband, she wouldn't have had the children she has now. Now you say, what's wrong with that? There's something wrong with it. I had twin boys that were 2 months early. I can remember thinking to myself, I can't imagine taking their lives. And they, you know, and I'm trying to be nice because the world hears the church say terrible things. But here's what I want you to see. The way the world thinks is, hey, do what's best for your career. Do what's best for you. You've got a career, so those two lives don't matter. That's the way the dark world convinced you. The dark world convinced you that it's better to kill yourself than to get help and live and enjoy life. The dark world, it is when you get out there and start looking, and listen, where do you find a lot of these teachings? I'm going to tell you. You find it a lot of times in higher academic settings. I have a master's degree at a major university. But during that time, I was challenged by humanism. I was challenged by all the great thinkers in the universe that called themselves college professors. And here's what happened to me. Now, don't take this as an excuse to be stupid. Because a lot of Christians are just stupid. I'm just going to be honest. Say, well, No, you need to know what is out there. But you need to believe God first. You can't interpret the world from what? Listen, I get so frustrated. People listen more to Dr. Phil than they do to God. Or whatever counselor or whatever TV celebrity that is out there. When in many cases, what they're talking about is darkness. You see, darkness is worldliness, and the world is dark. The world is dark without Jesus Christ. In 1 John, he said later on, in verse 15 and 16, he says, "Do not love the world, nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you only a craving for physical pleasure." This whole thing, this whole concept that you just can sleep with whoever you want and it's okay, just blows my mind. You don't need to get married. You just, whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you, that is not biblical. The craving for everything we see and the pride in our achievement and our possessions. We live in a world that thinks what you have is more important than the people you have. Dark, there's just so much darkness out there. And that doesn't bother me because that is the way the world sees things. So what you have is you have Jesus is light. And you have to try to allow Him to guide you as you look at the things in the world. But the Bible also teaches that the world is dark. And you've got to be able to distinguish between the light and the darkness. And here's the simple way to do that. You go to Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. He is the way you figure it out. Now, what do you do with someone who's... We live in a world that likes to argue and get on Facebook. That just drives me nuts because that ain't going to solve anything. But what do you do with someone who doesn't believe the same way you do? Do you tweet about them? No. Do you go on Facebook and put some terrible thing about it? No. Listen what Scripture says. In 2 Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy how to deal with people who don't agree with him. He says, gently, underline that word, gently, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Let me tell you something. I can't change your heart. I learned a long time ago I can't change people's hearts. There's only one person who can do that, and that's God. So don't argue and try to convince them they're wrong. You can talk to them about the truth. You can talk to them about what you believe in. You can talk to them about these things, but don't think you can force them to believe it. He says, perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. And then he says, then they will come to their senses. One of the best prayers you can pray for someone who's messed up about the truth and what truth and light and darkness is, you can pray they come to their senses. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. You see, the world is under the thinking of Satan. We're under the thinking of Jesus Christ. Two separate worlds. So Jesus is the light. And the third thing, and darkness is in the world. Here's the solution. Follow Jesus daily. He says in the last part of after he says, I'm the light of the world, he says, if you follow me, you will not have to walk in darkness. Did you get that? How do you not live in darkness? You follow Jesus. It's a decision. So that's a problem. We get people in here, we help them know Jesus, we baptize them, and then we say, go out there and You've done everything it's needed. No, here's the key to the Christian life. It's daily getting up and choosing to follow Jesus. Here's what I do know. If you follow Jesus and I follow Jesus, I won't walk in darkness and you won't walk in darkness. It's that simple. I mean, the older I get, the more I realize it's all about Jesus. It's not about church. It's about living for Jesus, following Him. He says, because you will have the light. When you follow Jesus, you will have the light that leads to life. So what's the key to Mount Ida getting its act together? Follow Jesus on a daily basis. If you'll worry about that and help other people come to know Him, all the other problems of darkness get taken care of. Because how do you get rid of darkness? It's so simple. You turn on the light. You'd simply turn on the light. And as Christians, that's how we get rid of darkness. Not through government laws. You get rid of darkness by helping people come to know Jesus Christ and have the light. And when you have the light, you have what? No darkness. Listen, there's a bunch of Christians that hide from the real world. We're not Amish. We're not Amish. You ought to live where they live. And what should you be? You should be light. The world's dark. If we start retreating, it gets darker. He says, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. That's a decision. Listen to Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. 5, 8. He says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from God, so live as people of the light. In other words, when you get saved, it ought to change the way you act. Live as people of the light. Listen, Bill Ashburn used to be full of darkness. He's still getting rid of it. There's a lot of it in him. But my goal is to live as light. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. How do you get rid of darkness? You can talk how bad our community is. You can talk about how bad our country is. How do you get rid of that darkness? You turn on the light. How do you turn on the light? You follow Jesus. It sounds almost too simple, but it's the key to changing the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And then here's the final thing, and then I'll be done. Salvation is all about Jesus. If you look at verses 13 through 19, basically Jesus is in a heated discussion with the religious leaders of his time. And he basically says in those verses, hey, I am... and my father were two, were witnesses. This is the truth. They did not like that at all. And then you look down at verse 21, and he kind of gets a little candid, and he says, I'm going away. You will search for me, but will die in your sins. You cannot go where I'm. He basically is saying, is without me, you're lost. And we've got to understand, it's not a Baptist Jesus. It's not a Methodist Jesus. It's just Jesus. The difference between someone who is saved and someone who is lost, they either have Jesus as the light of their life or they don't. It's that simple. So he says to them, unless you believe in me, then you're going to die in your sin. You know, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The same thing is true this morning. I don't know what your past is, and I don't know if you have Jesus or church or whatever. Here's all I know. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for life, you will die in your sins. So the real question is not if you've been baptized, not if you join a church. The real question is, do you have Jesus Christ? If you do, you have light. And if you don't, He loves you, He died for you, He wants you. But here's the bottom line. It's a decision. It shouldn't be made by pressure. It's just a decision. Jesus is the light of the world. You either have Him or you don't. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that not only are You the bread of life, You're also the light of life. And Father, there are many people who are just struggling in life, wanting to know, what are the answers? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And the truth is, it's either You or nothing. I thank You so much that You came for a sorry, sorry person like myself. And that when You died on that cross, You died for a guy who was going to let You down over and over again. But I do thank You, dear Lord, that You died for my sins and that I've accepted the precious gift that only You can give. Maybe there's someone here